Welcome to Tawari Macha, Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rena Foreman, and today we will be studying Yecheskel, Perek Lamed Tet, Chapter 39. In the last perek, we learned of Gog, the king of Magog, who will attack Israel. He will be enticed by the open borders of Israel. Israel will seem vulnerable, but in fact, she will be protected by God. Looks can be deceiving. Hashem will come to her aid with vengeance, bringing calamity upon Gog and his allies. This, in turn, will bring awareness of God's name among the nations. End of story? No, the story of Gog in Sefer Yecheskel is not over quite yet. In our parak, Gog will continue to take center stage. In the first pasuk in our parak, Yecheskel is to tell Gog, V'shovavtich, I will entice you. V'shishaiticha. This, too, is a form of enticement. In fact, according to Metzudat Zion, this word borrows from the word the Nachash used to entice Chava in the garden, Hanachash Hishiani. God will bring Gog from the north toward the mountains of Israel. This sounds like pretty much a repeat of the introduction to Gog in the last parak. So far, it's all very similar to the beginning of the last parak. But as we continue, we will see that while the last parak focused largely on the armies and might of Gog, our parak will have a different focus. It will focus instead on the ultimate fate of Gog. This focus is something that we start to see right in the next pasuk. V'hiketi kashtecha miyad smolecha, v'chitzecha miyad yamincha apil. I will strike the bow from your left hand and knock your arrows out of your right hand. While his armies may be mighty, Gog won't even get a chance to use his weapons against Israel. But even worse, al harei Yisrael tipol ata. Gog and his men will fall. A pretty gory end is spelled out for Gog and his fellow warriors. La'ayit sipor kol kanaf v'chayat ha-sadeh netatich lo'ochla, al pnei ha-sadeh tipol. They will serve as prey for the birds and animals of the fields. V'shilachti esh b'magog uv'yoshvei ha'iim l'vatach. God will send a fire upon Magog, their land of origin, and the surrounding unsuspecting island nations. God's actions against Gog will spread knowledge of God. God says through this, I will make my name known. And the nations of the world, they will know that I am a holy God. When they see that my promises come true. This day is coming. It will come true. This is the day I spoke about. These words, Hine Ba'a, they were used in Perek Zion to predict the impending destruction of Israel. But now, they are used to describe our salvation from Gog. Here's what that day will look like. V'yatzu yoshvei arei Yisrael, uviyaru v'hisiku b'neshek, umagen v'tzina v'keshet v'chitzim uv'makel yad, uvaromach, uviyaru b'hem esh sheva shanim. The Navi gives us a striking picture of how great God's salvation of Israel is here. Gog, the mighty giant of a nation, has fallen, and there will be so much weaponry left in the fields that the people of Israel will burn all the ammunition, shields, spears, bows, and arrows, all their various forms of weapons of the nation of Gog. They will burn these for 7 years. V'lo yisu etzim min ha-sadeh, v'lo yachtavu min ha-yarim, kivan neshek yiv'aru esh, v'shalalu et shalalehem, uvazazu et bozzehem. They won't need to cut trees from the forest for firewood, because of the abundance of weaponry in the land, left over after Gog's demise. That will serve as firewood. Very strange. First of all, the pasuk seems to go out of its way to mention the various forms of Gog's ammunition, which will burn. Shields, bows, arrows, handheld sticks. What would be the reason to give that much focus to this list of ammunition? And is there any significance to the fact that the firewood supplied from the ammunition of Gog's nation at the end of times will last specifically 7 years? When we think of the number 7, what do we automatically associate it with? Yes, with Shabbos. 7 and Shabbos kind of go together in our heads. Could there be something Shabbos-like going on here? It seems rather far-fetched to suppose so, except that the language of the Pesukim here in Yecheskel is suspiciously Shabbos-like, if you will. You see, even though by tradition there are Lamed Tet, 39 categories of malacha, that are forbidden on Shabbos, one of the only restrictions that the Torah is actually explicit about when it comes to Shabbos is lighting fire. Here is Shmot in Perek Lamed Hei. Lo tava'aru esh v'chol moshvotechem b'yom ha-Shabbat. Do not burn fires in the places you inhabit on Shabbos. Now listen again to our pasuk in Yechezkel. V'yatzu yoshvei arei Yisrael. Uviaru v'yisiku v'neshek u'magen v'tzina v'keshet v'chitzim u'v'makel yad u'v'romach uviaru v'hem ish sheva shanim. The parallel language between that one explicit command about Shabbos not to burn fire in our settlements and our pasuk in Yechezkel jumps out at us. Those lo tavaru fires that we are commanded not to make on Shabbos, in Yechezkel, they seem to turn into yavaru ish, fires the people are supposed to make in order to burn the Gog's hordes of ammunition. And the Moshotechem, settlements, where the Torah tells us that fires shouldn't be burned on Shabbos, in Yechezkel, these seem to turn into Yoshvei Arim, inhabitants of the city, going out to create fires from all this leftover ammunition. The elements are the same in both scenarios, but strangely, Shmot and Yechezkel seem to be opposites, the inverse of one another. In Shmot, you aren't supposed to burn fire in your moshav on the seventh day, and in Yechezkel, the Toshavim, they are going to be burning these fires for 7 years. What's going on here? Here's maybe a way to think of it. What's the point of this prophecy of Yechezkel, which speaks of life after the colossal defeat of Gog? It is a picture of a peacetime that takes place in the shadow of what could have been an apocalyptic destruction. Had all these weapons and ammunition actually been used by Gog, it would have been the end for everyone. Instead, though, the citizens of Israel will be using the ammunition harmlessly, as firewood, for 7 years. Think about Shabbos for a minute. It is rest from man-made efforts to shape the world. Isn't it interesting that it's specifically weapons that are being burned in our parak? The making of weapons is a quintessential man-made effort. Here are all these terrible destructive products of man's technology, and an abundance of them, enough to last as firewood for 7 years without taking a break. Maybe things are not as topsy-turvy as they seem. By using the plethora of weapons as firewood, the psukim really are describing a Shabbos of sorts, a kind of final Shabbos at the end of days. We are to rid ourselves, cleanse ourselves, of the man-made destructive machines, if you will. The point of Shabbos is always to take a break and step back. Man is being asked on Shabbos to hit the pause button on his efforts to transform the world through malacha. The massing and stockpiling of weapons without a break, without any end in sight, or maybe with an unintended end in sight, creating too many weapons without a break to evaluate, well, that can destroy the world. At the end of days, then, the burning of the weapons is what allows the land to rest from man-made efforts and move toward permanently living in tranquility, labetach, relying on God as our source. As we move forward in the psukim of our parak, we hear an echo of the 7 years of burning ammunition, with another process that takes place over 7 months. Let's take a look. V'haya b'yomahu eten l'gog b'kom sham kever b'Yisrael ge ha'ovrim kid b'hayam v'chosemet hi et ha'ovrim v'kavru sham et gog v'et kol hamona v'kar'u ge hamon gog u'kvarum b'Yisrael l'ma'an taher et ha'aretz shiv'a chodashim. In these psukim, we hear about B'nai Yisrael carefully burying the corpses of Gog and his armies in the Gai, the valley, for 7 months. There are many bones to bury. Of course, in Sefer Yechezkel, we are well acquainted with the sight of a valley full of bones. It reminds us of the valley of dry bones back in Perek Lamed Zayin, the ones that will come to life. But this time, we seem to have a mirror image of that valley of bones. In this valley, the valley of Hamon Gog, the bones are the bones of armies that will oppose Israel. They will remain dead, and it will be up to Israel to help bury them over 7 long months. L'ma'an taher et ha'aret shiv'a chodashim, in order to Litaher, to purify the land, for 7 months. That word Litaher, it will come up a bunch more times in the parak. It is the reason we need to bury the dead, even if the bodies are not our own. We need the land to remain pure. But perhaps there is another reason we are so diligent in the burial of specifically these enemies, Gog and his armies. It has to do with the ancestry of Gog. As we pointed out in the beginning of Perek Lamed Chet, Gog's ancestry dates back to Yafet, the son of Noach. Although Gog in recent history is an enemy of Israel, it wasn't always that way. Yafet allied with Shem, our own ancestor, to perform a great act of chesed. These brothers both stepped in together to cover the nakedness of their helpless father Noach. So let's ponder that. Now, who is it that is in need of chesed? Who needs their own nakedness covered? It is this descendant of Yafet, Gog. For even though Gog was guilty of great evil in amassing this great attack against Israel, still, now that their armies have been defeated and the dead lay uncovered in the fields, it will be up to Israel, the descendants of Shem, to perform one last act of chesed for them, an act that echoes their collaboration all those many years ago when Shem and Yafet were on the same side. Vayikach Shem v'Yafet. The singular form of the word vayikach suggests, according to Rashi, that the brothers Shem and Yafet had acted of one mind in protecting their father's honor. The psukim then continue, V'kavru kol am ha'aretz v'haya lahem l'shem yom hikabdi, and all the people will bury them, and in so doing, they will make a name for themselves, a reputation. It is up to the descendants of Shem, Israel, to worry about another's name. Israel caring for its enemies, even in defeat. Its willingness to bury the dead for 7 months so as not to allow Yafet's children to come to embarrassment. This itself is a magnification of another Shem, another's name, the name of God. It is a Kiddush Hashem. These selfless actions of Bnei Yisrael will honor Hashem's name. Rashi here in Yechezkel points out that Bnei Yisrael bearing the people of Gog influences the way the nations think of us, and by extension, how they view God. The selfless act of bearing the dead expresses a trait God expects of us, to be Rachmanim, merciful. What other nation painstakingly devotes itself to minimizing the degradation of their enemies, carefully bearing the enemies who had come to destroy them? The name Shem, of course, has a double meaning, name and legacy, reputation. Shem builds its legacy by looking after the shame of others. The psukim continue, V'anshei tamid yavdilu ovrim ba'aretz, b'kavrim et ha'ovrim et ha'notarim al pnei ha'aretz. Israel separates out appointed people whose job it is to pass over the land and find any stray bodies that need burial. And if there's even an etzem, a bone that is found, they make sure to mark the spot until the proper burial takes place. So Bnei Israel will purify the land by burying the dead of Gog and his armies. But although Israel will take steps to minimize the degradation of Gog, Yechezkel warns these nations that there is one force that even Israel can't stop, the force of nature itself. It is as if Gog, this technological giant, content to overwhelm the natural world with his machines of destruction, when he's finally destroyed, nature will overwhelm him. That's what we hear about in the next psukim. Emor letzipor kol kanaf ulechol chayat hasadeh, hikabtsu vavo, hiasvu misaviv, al zivchi asheni zoveach lachem zevach gadol, al harei Yisrael. Usually, man uses his technological superiority to build tools to slaughter animals as offerings to God, and men too will feast on these offerings. But now, the roles will be reversed. In the defeat of Gog, it will be the animals who will feast on men. This will be the new Zevach of the animal world, rejoicing in the destruction of Gog's armies and his technological killing machines. The end of the parak here is one more round of nature versus Gog's technology. Just as Israel celebrated a Shabbos in the defeat of Gog, so does nature, as birds, fowl, and animals all feast on the flesh of Gog's corpses in the field. V'chaltem basar ushtitem dam. You Animals, you will eat the flesh and drink the blood of this zevach. V'achaltem chelev l'sav'ah, ushtitem dam l'shikaron. Eat the fat till you're full, and drink their blood until you're drunk from it. Usvatem al shulchani sus v'rechev, gibor v'chol ish melchama. And satisfy yourselves, God says, from the meal I've laid out on my table, made of the war horses, chariots, and warriors of the nation of Gog. The psukim end with one more iteration of the Shabbos idea. L'chein kol amar Hashem Elokim, ata ashiv et shvut Yaakov, v'richamti kol be'Yisrael, v'kineti l'shem kodshi. Now, when I bring Israel back, I will have mercy on them all. This language of returning to the land, it is a playoff of the word Shabbos. God will have compassion on us, as he fulfills his words that were once the preamble to the Tochacha. Al admatam levetach ve'ein macharid. Israel will sit securely on their land, without any terror. Among the final words of our perek, v'lo astir od panai mehem. I will no longer hide my face from them. The strategy, asher shafachti et ruchi al Beit Israel. In contrast to the chema, the anger that God poured upon them in the past, God says, this time, I will pour my spirit upon them. Ne'um Hashem Elokim. These are the words of God. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishma, Riva Schwab, Rivka, Bat Alexander, Sender.